I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We often start this show with a big story from somewhere around the globe. Today, though, we want to begin with a more personal one, one that connects all of us to one of those big stories, the war in Syria. The conflict there can feel remote to us here, but Americans are involved. Some have been sent there by the U.S. military, and some, as we're about to hear, have gone to Syria on their own to join the fighting, not to join ISIS, as others from the West have done, but to fight against ISIS by joining the ranks of Kurdish fighters in Syria. Technically, that's not illegal. From a U.S. government point of view, these Americans are helping in the fight against the so-called Islamic State in Syria. But what is it like for them? Here's The World's Shirin Jafari.
It was October 1st, the dead of night. Lucas Chapman was as close as he'd ever been to realizing his dream. He was finally getting smuggled into Syria from Iraq, on foot.
The entire walk was about 7 hours, so even after the first maybe half hour, just walking up and down these kind of gentle hills, I was like wheezing, you know, like gasping for air.
He had his big, heavy backpack on. No flashlights. It would draw attention. No water because it slushes around and makes noise. It was like nothing he'd ever done before. Halfway through the trek, one of Chapman's Kurdish guides stopped him.
He turns around, he says something to me in Kurdish, and I didn't get it, so I said, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. And he just looked around, and he made this little walking motion with his fingers, and then he went, boom. I said, oh, mines. He said, yes, yes, mine. Everywhere, he like motioned around, everywhere. So you bet that my nose was up the butt of the guy in front of me after hearing that. I just stuck right on him, which actually is very poor military practice, walking through a minefield, but I didn't know that at the time.
That night was also Chapman's 21st birthday. But it didn't matter. He had made up his mind about going to Syria 2 years before. He was in college at the time, majoring in history. He saw news footage of the Islamic State rolling into Syria, and he promised himself that if the war was still going on, by the time he graduated, he would drop everything and go.
And then 2016 rolled around, and I graduated in May of that year. And I had to walk the walk, so to speak.
He decided to volunteer for a Kurdish militia group called the YPG, or the People's Protection Unit. They control a chunk of territory in northern Syria. They call it Rojava. And really, it was the group's ideology that pulled him in.
It's part anarchism, part communism, part socialism. Everyone gets a voice. That's what appealed to me so much about it.
Right now we're in Ain Issa. Getting ready for the Raqqa operation.
This is a video of Chapman in Syria. He's small with dark-rimmed glasses. He's wearing a military uniform.
I'm very excited to go to the front. Yeah.
Chapman spent 7 months as a volunteer fighter with the YPG. First, there was training. Then there were times when he was on the front lines. Others, when he and his American buddy had to sit around, bored. He shows me some photos on his iPhone.
So this is me at we just had a morale night, put a little fire on the roof, set a little tire on fire, and danced around and ate some donuts and drank some soda.
Where did you get donuts?
Those are reserved for the best of nights, for the morale nights. They weren't fresh or anything, they're just in packages, but it tasted just as good as the fresh at that point.
Thousands of foreign fighters have gone to Syria since the start of the civil war. Some have joined the Islamic State, some have gone to fight against it. It's hard to know exactly how many Americans have gone, but some estimates put the number at 100. Volunteers I spoke to say this is too low. They figure it's about 200 to 300, maybe even more. So what pushes these Americans to leave their comfortable first world lives and go fight in another man's war? Chapman and his friends divide them into three groups. The adventurers, you know, Rambo types. The ones who sympathize with the leftist ideology of the YPG, like Chapman himself, and the vets.
Those that are military veterans, some of them are going because they missed military lifestyle.
Jason Fritz is with the American University in Washington, D.C. He and his team interviewed a dozen of the volunteers when they came back to the U.S.
Many of them had deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan with the U.S. Army or the U.S. Marines. You also had a number of veterans who just didn't like seeing all of the work that they did and why, you know, some of them were wounded or they had friends who were wounded or killed being undone by the Islamic State.
That's exactly how Buck Clay felt in 2014 when ISIS was gaining strength. Clay had served 11 years in the U.S. Army.
I did 3 years of my life in Iraq, so to watch it all be flushed away, you know, it was like something was being taken from me, like everything, my contribution, the contribution of the people who went with me, or, you know, the people who didn't make it back, and it just, you know, it was all being swept away.
Clay was working for an electrical supply company in Ohio at the time. Not the most exciting chapter of his life, he says. So he saved up money and got ready to leave.
I put all my stuff in storage. I sold my car. I gave proper notice for my job. We even had a little going away party and prepared to leave for an unknown amount of time.
In the end, Clay says he spent $8,000 on his trip to Syria. Was it worth it? Did he feel like he accomplished what he was after?
Nope, not at all. That's why I haven't gone back. It felt like a waste. I don't think I contributed much at all.
He says there was too much emphasis on ideology, something he found tough to embrace.
The YPG, they wanted me to join the Communist Party and they wanted me to be a poster boy. And that's all they wanted from me.
He was done. After 4 months, he headed back to the U.S. So how does a Texan, or say a New Yorker, find his or her way into a Kurdish militia group in Syria? It's actually not that hard. Do a little Googling, and in no time, emails and phone numbers will show up on your screen. All right, I've just talked to somebody from the YPG on WhatsApp, and I am just going to give them a call.
Morning.
Hi, who am I speaking to?
Zagros.
Zagros?
Yes.
Zagros isn't his real name, and he won't tell me where he is. But he walks me through the process. He says when a foreign volunteer asks to join the group, first they send them a long list of questions. And there's a reason for that.
There was not any procedure at the beginning, at the first year. It was 3-4 years ago. Because we were in a very intense fight, we would accept almost everyone to come. Then we realized this is not the way that we should do it, because some of the people came with their own problem, their own psychological problem, and we had to clear them out. We had to ask them to leave.
Jason Fritz of the American University also worries about who ends up holding a gun in a place where there's no rule of law. He says Americans wandering off to Syria like that just raises so many questions.
What about their conduct on the battlefield? If they did engage in violence against unarmed civilians and then such things, you know, there really isn't a lot of recourse. What happens if, I don't know, like the Syrian government captures one? You know, now the U.S. is, they're not compelled to take action, but at some point it could become a diplomatic headache.
He also wonders what happens if they get captured by the Islamic State. The U.S. doesn't officially pay ransom to terrorist groups. Both Chapman and Clay, the volunteers I spoke with, say they always saved an extra bullet, just in case. Better dead than an ISIS prisoner, they said. Of course, not all Americans who've gone have made it back.
When you arrive and after you've gone through some training, they have you make a video, in case I die type of video, and they kind of take down your wishes.
My name is Nicholas Allen Warden. I'm from Buffalo, New York. I was born on June 17th.
Just in July, at least 3 Americans died in Syria fighting ISIS. Nicholas Warden was one of them. This is him in a video the YPG released after his death.
I'd like to say hi to my parents in New York.
I asked Zagros, the YPG guy, what happens when Americans like Warden die? Who takes care of their bodies?
It's on their willing of their family. If they want to have them back, we will send them back. Otherwise, we have an international martyrs graveyard here, so we keep them as our own.
He won't tell me exactly how many Americans are buried in the international graveyard, but Chapman told me he carried the casket of one American who's buried in Rojava in northern Syria. He says he had asked the same be done with him if he died.
I said, look, Jewish custom dictates that I have to be buried as soon as possible. So if that means that I have to be buried in Rojava, then, you know, bury me in Rojava. That's where I want to go.
Despite the risks, Americans continue to join the fight against the Islamic State.
There's always an appeal and a kind of romance in the idea of joining some very distant fight for a good cause.
Adam Hochschild, author of a book called Spain in Our Hearts, says it's not hard to find other examples in history where Americans have gone off to fight in a foreign war. In the mid-1930s, some 2,800 Americans boarded steamboats from New York and headed to France and then Spain to fight against the fascist dictator, Francisco Franco.
Most, though by no means all of them, were members or supporters of the Communist Party. And those 2,800 Americans going to Spain were by far the largest number of Americans who'd ever gotten involved in somebody else's civil war.
This is a true face of men going into action. It is a little different from any other face that you will ever see.
Famously, Ernest Hemingway made it to Spain, for whom The Bell Tolls is based on his experiences there. He also narrated this documentary, The Spanish Earth.
Men cannot act before the camera in the presence of death.
Hochschild sees a parallel between the Spanish War and the Syrian one, but he's also cautious about the differences for those going to Syria.
I think the volunteers who are going there, although I deeply respect their good intentions, they're stepping into a very complicated political cauldron with major state actors like the United States, Russia, Iran, Turkey, all maneuvering around the edge of this situation. I think it's a little bit less clear-cut than the Spanish Civil War was, where at the time, even though there were political complexities there too, it was really a question of, did you want or did you not want Hitler and Mussolini to have another ally in Europe?
But for today's volunteers, these complexities are just footnotes. Like this guy who didn't want to give me his name.
Yeah, can you hear me?
He says he's in Germany waiting to get the green light from the YPG. He's a student, a city boy. He hasn't held a gun in his life. But he's a leftist and admires the American volunteers who fought in the Spanish Civil War.
Each generation gets only a limited amount of opportunities to actually make a difference in the world. For me and like-minded individuals, the Rojava Revolution is the Spanish Civil War of our time.
The Spanish Civil War of our time. Certainly felt that way for Lucas Chapman. And since he's been back, he hears from people who want advice on how to get to Syria. He tries to persuade them not to go.
Because I have lost a lot of people, and it really shook me, like having interacted with these guys, knowing about their families. Some of them left daughters behind, little kids.
He tells them find another way to help, become an activist, for example. And that's actually what he's done. He works for a Kurdish NGO in Washington, D.C. They lobby, hold rallies, and help the families of Americans who've died in Syria.
But if there's nothing I can do, then I think back to myself. And I think, okay, there's nothing that could have stopped me. So I would much rather give this person advice, help them prepare to go over there, and try as hard as I can to keep them from coming back in a body bag.
Just the day before we met, Chapman says he managed to talk one would-be volunteer out of going to Syria. Success. But for each person who changes their mind, there seems to be another one on their way. For the world, Shirin Jafari. Viva la Quinta Brigada, rumba la rumba la rumba la. Viva la Quinta Brigada, rumba la rumba la rumba la.